Ready for a new and exciting career challenge? At DHL Supply Chain, you're part of a team committed to creating innovative solutions for some of the biggest brands in the world. We're recognized as a best place to work, where people are valued, supported, and respected. DHL Supply Chain is hiring for a wide range of salaried operational and functional roles. Previous experience in logistics is welcome, but not required. All opportunities, no boundaries. DHL Supply Chain. Apply today at joindhl.com.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley. For the love of home.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Before sunrise, Burn Dairy and Deli is preparing to fuel your day with hot coffee, donuts, muffins, breakfast sandwiches, and other morning staples. For lunch, grab a giant deli sandwich made the way you like it. Pizza, wings, wraps, or a fresh salad. Plus, something to wash it down. Then pick up dinner or a sweet treat and other pantry essentials. Now you can get your Burn Dairy and Deli favorites delivered with DoorDash. All day, every day, you can count on Burn Dairy and Deli. It's all good.
Hi, this is Jay Billis of ESPN, and you're listening to the ML Sports Platter.
Another edition of the ML Sports Platter, all over the major platforms like Spotify, Google, Apple, Stitcher, Deezer, you name it. Download, subscribe, leave feedback, and a five-star review. Now a part of the Believe Podcast Network. I am thrilled to be a part of this. Man, there's so many amazing shows. Go check them all out, including the one with Bill Polian, the Hall of Fame general manager, executive, of course, former GM of the Bills and the Colts. Terrific podcast. Great content. Awesome hosts. All a part of the Believe Podcast Network. Hey, you can get me on Twitter at Mike L Sports and ML Sports Platter on Instagram and on Facebook. We are brought to you by Stanley Law Offices, Brian Conboy of Mass Mutual New York State, Liverpool Physical Therapy, and CNY Electrical. Log on to CNYElectrical.com today for all of your electrical needs, both residential and commercial. CNY Electrical is a proud ML Sports Platter sponsor. Thrilled to bring him back onto the program here as we get set for a very, very busy Thanksgiving day of NFL football. One more Syracuse football game. We got the Yankees hot stove. Remember when we didn't have any games and we had nothing to talk about? It's hard to keep up with all of it at this point, but we love it that way. People, sports fans love it, but us in the business, you know, we're fans too. We started as fans, but covering these games and talking about it and just having just ample content, it's awesome. All the games back, it's terrific. And nobody's done it better than Scott Pitoniak through the years, a best-selling author. Go grab all of his books online where books are sold. And you can visit him at the Rochester Business Journal website, of course, rbj.net. And that's where he's got all of his columns. That's rbj.net. And on Twitter, at Scott Pitoniak. We're going to get into some SU football and basketball, some Yankees hot stove, and we will preview Bills Saints for Thanksgiving Thursday, which is tomorrow in prime time, season on the line for the Bills. Scott, welcome aboard, buddy.
Thank you, Mike.
Will the Buffalo Bills make the playoffs?
Yeah. I'm not hitting the panic button yet. There's obviously, areas of concern here, and I think the biggest is along the offensive line and the defensive line, for that matter, the trenches. You've got to wonder after some of the performances, including that debacle against the Colts where they literally, you know, ran roughshod over, through, and around the Bills. You got to start to wonder about that defense. And, something is just not clicking here offensively. And I think a lot of it has to do with, you know, they've had some injuries along that offensive line. They've had to use different combinations. And quite frankly, they don't have a lot of depth on that line. And I'm also beginning to think, Mike, that, you know, Josh's, you know, ability to escape trouble and so forth has masked maybe some of the problems and, you know, prompted, you know, them to pretty much go with the same offensive line that they had in the past. And so they may have gotten fooled a little bit there into thinking that they had a good offensive line. And there's some serious questions about whether or not they do. I still think, I mean, they have a demanding schedule and things are going to get really, really, really interesting if they lose to the Saints, which they conceivably could do on Thanksgiving, you know. And you've got to, the worst fear for Bills fans, right, Mike, is like all of a sudden you're in second place to the Patriots again. I mean, nobody wants to be looking at that schedule if you're a Bills fan and seeing that again, because it just brings back so many horrible memories of, you know, the two decade long dominance where you played the, you know, the Washington Generals to their Harlem Globetrotters. And so I think that's concerning. And there's no question that they're a much improved team, the Patriots are. And I don't think Mac Jones is the next Tom Brady, but they found a formula. And I kind of figured they were going to be a much better team with you know, all the defensive starters coming back who had opted out for COVID last year. And they've found a formula that's winnable. I don't think it's a Super Bowl winning formula as of yet, but perhaps it's a division winning formula and we're going to find out. So the Bills got some tests. I mean, you also have some patsies still remaining on your schedule, but this next few weeks here, is going to be very, very telling, I think, for this team. But I still think they're going to make the playoffs.
Here's the thing. For me, what it boils down to right now is things happen. It's sports. It's the NFL. You go through ebbs and flows. The Bills have a bullseye on them this year. They came out of nowhere last year. It's a much different situation. Allen's got the contract, hype expectations, all the things that go into what this NFL season is. I wouldn't be this past weekend that upset over the Colts loss if the Bills had beaten the Jaguars. Scott, you always have to come back to it. Like, you have to beat the teams that you're supposed to beat. You have to beat the really, really bad teams. And I know the Titans have lost to the Texans and Jets. I know that we've seen this all year long in the NFL. But from a Bills perspective solely, look at the AFC standings. If they had 7 wins, look how different it is 10 weeks into the year, right? I look at that Jaguars loss as being like the problem right now over everything.
Yeah, well, there's no question. And the other thing, too, Mike, is that they're not going to fare well in the tiebreakers because fairly high on the list is conference record. And they don't have a good conference record right now, you know. So, again, if you were to sweep the Patriots, which you're capable of doing, but it's not going to be an easy task. And then I think you finish up with the Jets, you know. So, that Jacksonville loss was one of the worst in recent Bills memory, given, you know, the implications that it has. And again, as you said, those are your championship team. You beat up on the teams you're supposed to beat up on. Like the thing that we liked about the Bills last year was, they had an easy schedule, but they took advantage of it. Mm-hmm. They didn't make the schedule and they beat up on the teams that were supposed to, including, you know, a very weakened AFC East last year as well.
Sure.
That's fine. You know, and that's what the Patriots did for how many
that's
years?
Right.
Like,
yeah.
Their division stunk, you know, essentially for 20 years. And so they were guaranteed like, you know, 5 wins, you know, almost every year. And they might have like one toe stubbing where they would lose a game, you know, in the division. But that was pretty much it, you know, for 20 years. And that's a problematic loss that, you know, you hope that you don't come back and say, well, that's the one that got you.
Yeah.
But it could. Again, I still think that they're a good team. They're in a time of crisis now. And this is like, you know, probably the most serious stretch here. We're gonna really see about Sean McDermott now, because clearly, you know, his coaching has come under question. He's gotten seems to me a little conservative, gone back to that field goal thing, and we know you can't play that way in the NFL, and that's not how the Bills have become good. They've become good because they've been aggressive. Yep. They've rode the pass game, and they've kind of gotten away, and they're a little bit off right now. And so they got to turn this around fairly soon. And again, I think that this is this Thanksgiving game against a Saints team they should beat is going to be very telling. If they lose this one, it's going to get really, really, really interesting.
It sure is. Let's go to Syracuse Athletics. The basketball team loses at home to Colgate for the first time since 1962. And I understand Syracuse, the fan base. We should never this. We should never that. Right. Scott, I went to a small school, a mid-major team. Not right now, they're major, if you ask me. I mean, 19th, you know, mm-hmm. number 16 in the country. But, you know, Bonaventure, Colgate. We saw VCU, Butler, George Mason go to Final Fours, you know, 10, 15 years ago. This does happen once in a while. What did you take away from that loss and the team moving forward? What do they need to do here to make up for that loss? Because that's generally how it goes. If you lose a game like that, you're not supposed to. You have to have those great wins late, you know, later on against really legit teams.
Yeah. Look, I think the number one, the first thing, and you're right, like Syracuse fans are spoiled.
Yep.
You know, Boeheim has spoiled them. He's created this monster and stuff. And we've heard all about the cupcakes, and Colgate was supposed to be a cupcake. Well, here's the reality. Colgate's been a tournament team. And, you know, Matt Langel is probably, he is like a candidate for coach of the year. I mean, what mm-hmm. he has done, and you can appreciate this at Bonaventure and stuff, it's not as easy to do as it is in other places.
That's right.
And way back when in ancient history, when I was at Syracuse, they would have been what was considered a mid-major way back in, you know, in the 70s when I was in school and stuff. So these things happen. There's tremendous parity in college basketball. Mm-hmm. We've seen a ton of upsets already in this young basketball season. So panic, no. There are some concerns. And the two big concerns I have right now is that defensively, I wonder how good this team can be. And it comes back to, Mike, an ongoing issue for Syracuse for a number of years, and that's the center position. You had to play Dolaje out of position for essentially 4 years because of injuries and this and that. You know, at center, you've got a small forward essentially being asked to play center for you. And this is still an issue when you're playing a zone defense. And they were exploited. Clearly, the threes are a great equalizer in college basketball. If you get on a stretch there where you're hitting them from downtown, well, these things happen. You can get blown out on your home court, as Syracuse did against Colgate. But they have that issue. I think defensively, I wonder how good this team's going to be. You know, they're going to be able to play this well. And the answer to me is not putting Jimmy Boeheim at center and pulling Buddy back on the back line. I'm sorry. And you know, you got a young guy in what Benny Williams is. We know that there's often growing pains in trying to learn how to play this zone. It's not as simple as people think it is. And all it takes is the one breakdown and an easy basket, right? You know, so that's going to take some time. That's concerning to me, the center position and defensively how this team plays. And it's only going to get more difficult, you know, as you get into the, you know, into the ACC schedule and you get into playing against more physical teams as well. So I'm a little concerned about that. Like, how is that going to play out? I mean, I think this team should not have issues scoring. I think offensively they should be solid, but you know, you're going to play the 2-3 zone and again, the three can be a great equalizer or exploiting the center of that zone, the yep. center position.
There's no doubt about that. And I think that, you know, offensively they're going to be fine. I think the shooting will come around. Swider hasn't hit a stride yet. But that inside post, I mean, it's been such a problem for years. And oh, by the way, back to Colgate for a second. I don't know if people remember this. They had Arkansas on the ropes in the NCAA tournament last year before Arkansas and Eric Musselman pulled away in that game. That was a 3-point game at halftime, and they were right there. So these teams can play. They've been able to play for a long time. Scott Pitoniak with us here at Scott Pitoniak on Twitter, rbj.net for all of his work and his books online where books are sold. Make sure you go pick them all up for the holiday season. Right to the football team here. How does this end for this team? Scott, end of October, November, it's that Dino Babers just complete nosedive time, isn't it?
Yeah. It's been a disappointing season, and regardless of what Dino says, and that, you know, he's pleased with this jump, but I don't just look at it as, okay, they went from, like, you know, they improved like 4 wins or whatever, or, you know, I don't measure it that way, because this was a very down year for the ACC. They should have beaten, you know, they should have beaten Clemson. They had them beat. They've lost close games. I think that comes down to coaching. And they also have, you know, the other, I know we're in a brave new world here with the transfer portal and so forth, but the one place that Syracuse does lead the nation in, and that is the number of guys who've entered the transfer portal. And, you know, if you're Clemson or Alabama or Ohio State or Penn State, whatever, you know, that's not an issue. When you're Syracuse, it is an issue because you have numbers problems to begin with. And so, you know, there was some hope and some light here. Obviously, you know, they found something in Sean Tucker, and he's been a diamond amid the ashes. Garrett Schrader gave him a boost, but, you know, Mike, you got to be able to complete passes, even at the collegiate level.
Yeah, they can't throw the ball down the field, Scott.
They can't do it.
They can't.
They can't do it.
Yep.
You know?
Weapons, they don't have enough weapons to catch the ball. And the guy, you know, Schrader obviously gives them more of an oomph on offense. But they need him to expand his passing repertoire. I think that's the biggest thing in the offseason. But you've got to get some of these young guys, you know, Elford, some of these young wide receivers. I actually like them. They're speedy, but they have poor hands and they're really raw in terms of route running. They just can't get open. They can't catch the ball when it even gets to them. They've got to figure out that part of the offense.
Yeah, there's no question. I mean, they're the one-dimensional. They're the classic one-dimensional team, right? We know you're going to run the ball, and they were able to do that in spite of the fact that teams knew that. But then, you know, you got in the ACC, and you also went against some teams that were going to put points up on the board, and that's always problematic if you can't, you know, unless you're running it like the Colts did against the Bills. You know, it's just not going to work for you. And if you fall behind, my goodness, then you wind up, you know, getting clobbered as they did last week. And this is, you know, season 6 for Dino. This is going to be the 5th losing record unless they pull off a miracle against Pitt. And I just don't see that happening. And then they go and win a bowl game, you know, that's a pretty big body of work and a lot of patience in an era when there isn't much patience for coaches or players to develop. And, you know, I look back at the history, like, you know, Mac, Dick McPherson, they went through, like, you know, he had a long period there and he didn't have a 10-win season, but he had some winning seasons, but then they'd fall back and so forth. And, you know, before the breakthrough 1987 unbeaten season, you know, those first few games there in 86, there was the sack Mac pack. Now, what was different then is that we had more patience back then, and plus you had an athletic director who had been a former football coach at Dartmouth, and Jake Krauthammer.
Right.
And so he saw things in the program as a football coach. He saw what Mac was doing, and one of the things that Mac did and Paul Pasqualoni did, and even Doug Marrone did, that Dino has not done, is establish those relationships, recruiting relationships, in New York State and just beyond, like in Jersey and in, you know, areas of Pennsylvania and so forth. I don't think he's done a good job of that. Yeah. And I'm not the only one who feels that way. I mean, you know, Don McPherson's talked about the importance of this and stuff. You got to keep the home guys home. you know, but I also understand the way things operate, you know, economically. This is not Syracuse University, is not Alabama, is not an SEC school where, okay, I got some rich sugar daddy that's just going to buy out, you know, the coaching staff here. That's not going to happen. I mean, they're not in a position to do that. And so they're stuck. And again, I like Dino, the words are ringing hollow now, Mike, in that, you know, the La Familia.
Oh, bake the cake. Yeah. You know, bake the cake, close your eyes, all that bullshit.
Yeah. You know, I mean, that's great, but, you know, the proof is in the pudding. And he's had 6 years. I just don't see it. You know, is this program on the upswing? No, it seems to be. It's, you know, is it better than last year? Yeah. Yeah, it's better than last year, but is this what you want?
Yeah.
And at a time when every other team goes to a bowl game.
Right. And your conference is really bad.
Yeah, your conference is bad. This was a time to make hay. And I go back, and we've kind of talked about this before with, you know, I think that the model for Syracuse should be something like Wake Forest. Now, and I feel bad. I was hoping that they would finally beat Clemson, you know, and see somebody else. But Clemson seems to have put it in proper gear here as they're getting down to the stretch. But, you know, I mean, Wake's facilities are not as good as Syracuse's. And their recruiting base, I mean, is not like super, super better. I mean, yeah, you're a Southern school technically, but you're still not, you know, you're not a football power or whatever. And I just think that it comes down to Clawson is a really good coach and has built a good program down there, a winnable program. And there's just so many ebbs and flows and ups and downs and more downs than ups, you know, with Dino. And I was reading something today where like half of his losses are by 17 points or more.
Yeah, I saw that.
Wow. And you know, and the record, if it's Bill Parcells and you are what your record says you are, well, you're really sub, you know, you've won 40% of your games, yep. You know, and much worse in the ACC.
So. Yeah, it's bad. Let's end with the stupid Yankees. you know, the offseason, I don't like any of the moves they've done already. Mm-hmm. And I don't know who they're going to get, if they're going to get anybody, but I don't have any faith in Cashman fixing this. I don't have any faith in Boone managing this. I don't have any faith in the owner, Hal, owning it. But I'll, for the sake of the pod, I'll let you answer this question, a two-part question, actually. What do you think they'll do? And is there anybody you see out there who you say they would be the perfect fit to come into this Yankee team?
Wow. You know, it's tough. The moves, like you've talked about moves, essentially the moves to me seem to be like admitting all the mistakes you made or the players you didn't develop. Right. You're cutting Clint Frazier. You're probably going to Andujar. I mean, and who knows what's going on.
Well, and Velasquez is now, you know, with the Angels for a bag of nickels, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So I just don't, you know, they've got a lot of work to do. And, you know, I mean, we've talked about like the problem with this team, Mike, is they defy, you know, the longtime baseball adage that you need to be strong up the middle. Look at this team. You got Sanchez as your catcher. And we're done with that. We're done with that. He's not a catcher. Okay. He's at best. He could be a DH, and this team has too many DHs, and maybe a two game a week catcher, that's probably stretching it. That's what he is, and then you know you're pitching. Hopefully, you know Major League Baseball, which they produce the baseballs now, will put a little spider tack or something, you know, on those balls so that Gerrit Cole can find himself again because. My goodness, if this is what we got, wow, you're stuck with another, you know, Stantonian contract here. And then you don't have a center fielder. So if you go on the cheat, And it's short, you know, and shortstop is the other thing up the middle, right? And if you go on the cheap, you know, and try to plug that for a year, let's say with a Trevor Story, let's say you may have to go with something where, okay, I'm going to come there and I'm going to play for my next contract, essentially. And you need, you know, so this is a mutually beneficial situation. They're not going to get Correa and Seager. That's not going to happen. So, you know, you look for a stopgap maybe in hopes that Volpe and the other kid are ready in 23. Now that's a big if, Mike, because again, this team has a very poor track record in recent years of developing its talent. I mean, all these guys that were released are examples of that. All these guys that they jettisoned are examples of, well, you didn't develop this guy. Yeah, Clint Frazier had injury and illness issues or whatever, but you didn't develop that guy. And Andujar, yeah, he had the injury and stuff. Like, but he came back from the injury. Like, why? You know, again, that's not just the, you know, player development, whatever. That's also managers, right? And coaches,
yep.
Like, and the big league level. And I just don't see that. So, you know, the kid, he's like 34 now, Marte, is a possible center fielder, stopgap or whatever, but you're going to have to fill that somehow.
Oh, come on. Don't you have faith in Aaron Hicks to play 30, how many, 20
oh,
games
gosh.
Before he goes down again? There's another contract. Gosh. What do we got? 4 years left on that?
Yeah. It's not quite an Ellsbury type contract, but it's
close.
It's getting close. Yeah. So I'm not optimistic. I mean, we're on the same page in that owner, GM, manager. I just don't have a great deal of confidence in them. And, you know, I talk about player development. Like, why couldn't Volpe? You know, he put big numbers up on every rung of the ladder that he went up last year. Like, why can't he go to camp?
I know.
And be your starting shortstop? I mean, why can't the Yankees do that?
Yep.
All these other teams do it. Like, why do you have to wait until somebody's 23, 24, 25? Why can't they be in their young 20s and say, like, you know, Joe Torre here, Yeah, we had an injury to Fernandez, and you're going to be my starting shortstop, you know, instead of talking George off of, you know, trading for a shortstop, right? And get that ball rolling. So I don't know. I haven't provided you with any answers because I don't have. I would jettison Sanchez.
Oh.
I wouldn't pay him the $9 million that you would have to pay him this year.
Get him out.
Yeah, give me a guy. If I have a guy in the system who is defensive ready to catch at the major league level, put him up there. I don't care if his stick is not ready. You know, whatever. Give me just somebody who is above competent, or above incompetent, I guess, is what we would be going with.
Well, and look, by the way, on that note, I agree with you, but this needs to also be added to the catching situation, Scott, is that the analytics that the Yankees are based on and what they actually think, you know, they believe in, which you and I both hate, The analytics, part of the reason Sanchez, they keep hanging on to him is because they're teaching him the analytics. They're teaching him the wrong ways to play the catcher position with the framing and all that sort of thing. This guy can't catch balls. He can't block balls. He can't do anything. And I think a lot of it is because the analytic plays into it, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I just don't think he's a good enough athlete back there. I don't think he has the reflexes.
True.
He's got a tremendous arm. That's the one plus he has defensively. He's got an incredible arm, but you can't live off that. You know, like, I mean, you can't throw everybody out, you know, like, you've got to be able to frame pitches, catch balls that are in the dirt, block them, so they're not in, you know, in the first row, and stuff. And you've got to manage a pitching staff. Garrett Cole, you know, doesn't have any faith in him. I mean, that should have told a lot of people, geez, what's going on here, you know, and stuff. So, I don't think there's any simple solutions here, but I don't know why not bring Volpe and the other kid. You bring them to camp and you really give them a lot of time to see or whatever, you know, to, and if, again, if you're looking for stopgap, you know, you go story or whatever, and you know, you're going to have to, you know, you get a 1 year contract, because the other guys are going to want big contracts. I mean, there's no way around it. They want big contracts and long contracts. You want to do a, you know, like the Mets did. You want to do a Lindor? I don't want to get involved in that. I mean, and on top of that, you're going to have to sign. You're going to have a multi-year deal coming up here with Judge, and you know, and he obviously is their best player, and he's the face of the franchise, and he's extremely popular and everything. But we always go back to the Stantonian contract that you know, burdens this team and stuff. And if you have an owner who is insistent that you stay under, you know, the luxury tax, so you don't have a lot of wiggle room here. So they're dumping right now, and we'll see. And you know, the way things are going, Mike, we're not going to know until before camp, because there's going to be there's going to be a lockout come December 1st.
No doubt.
I mean, it's, yep. You know, there's no avoiding that. And baseball, you know, a pox on both their houses, both the, you know, the ownership and on the players, because, you know, the sport's hurting, and you're going to do this in this day and age, and, you know, billionaires squabbling with multimillionaires, and like, yeah, that's, everybody loves that.
Yeah, it's a joke. In the final minute or two that I have with you, Scott, why don't you take an opportunity? Look, the holidays are here. People are shopping. And there's no better gift to give than books, right? So you have a lot of them online where books are sold, major bookstores. Highlight a couple for some people if you'd like.
Well, for the baseball fan out there, and you can get this Amazon, get it within a couple of days, is, you know, Remembrances of Swings Past. It's a collection of about 70, 75 essays I've done through the years on all aspects of baseball.
Such a great read, man.
Well known and whatever. So I would highly recommend that. You know, Forever Orange, if you're interested in Syracuse University, not just the sports, but the university itself, is a beautiful coffee table book that's available. And if you're looking from sports angles, I mean, I've got, you know, there's a book I collaborated with Steve Tasker that's still available. You know, like My Life on a Special Team, which really documents all the, you know, the rise of the glory years and stuff, you know, and through Steve Tasker's words and eyes. And then, you know, 100 things Syracuse fans should know and do before they die, I think is a interesting, fun type book, I think, that SU fans would like. And also the biography I did on Jim Boeheim, Color Him Orange. So if you go to Amazon.com, I have a page there, and all the books are there. But we authors, we starving writers, we appreciate that. So
yeah, no doubt, all the books are so worth it, and you've done awesome with them. And you can catch Scott Pitoniak at rbj.net for all of his terrific content and columns, and get him on Twitter at Scott Pitoniak, the longtime writer, reporter, storyteller, and author. Scott, thank you for doing this. Happy Thanksgiving to you and your family, and we'll talk down the line. And my goodness, I hope that Thursday night isn't a complete disaster and doesn't ruin all the food in my stomach with the Bills and the Saints, man. Woo.
Yeah, well, let's keep the faith. Again, I think they can right themselves, but it's not going to be easy, and it's going to be an interesting stretch run that we didn't think was going to be interesting at all, but I guess look at it that way. We're going to have games that mean something down the stretch here.
Yeah, no doubt. Thanks, buddy.
Thanks. Appreciate it, Mike.
The ML Sports Platter is brought to you by our great friends at Stanley Law Offices. Together, they'll work to get you the maximum award. A big tip of the cap, thank you as well, to Liverpool Physical Therapy, Brewerton Ace Hardware, the Al and Angus Pub, and our great, great friends over at Elevate Fitness of Syracuse. Two great locations. Get your membership now. DeWitt and Liverpool, they've got the hot tub, the pool, the walking track, all the machines, classes, and more. You name it, get there. Free training available with a personal trainer as well. Elevate Fitness literally has changed my life because I'm able to swim year-round now. I get in the hot tub for relaxation. I have horrible arthritis in my knees, and so when I go there, I feel good. And they make you feel good. They care about you. They have personal trainers and more. So go get your membership if you're in and around Central New York to Elevate Fitness. Liverpool and DeWitt locations. Tip of the cap, thank you to the Swan and Whitaker families as well for their support of the ML Sports Platter. Hit me on Twitter, at Mike L Sports. Big time thanks to Scott Pitoniak, and as I always tell you, enjoy the games.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.